very stoked to welcome our special guest, a remarkably accomplished actor from iconic TV, Larry Sanders Show, Entourage, a movie resume. Well, I've only got a three-hour show. The new one is called The Performance, incredibly intriguing plot. We'll get to that. On April 26th, he brings his stand-up tour to Eugene's McDonald Theater. You can learn more, visit jeremy-piven.com on the X platform. It's at Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven, great having you. How's life treating you these days?
Thank you for the intro, man. That was beautiful. I should record that and play that every morning when I wake up.
make you feel even better about yourself?
Well, how could it not? I mean, actors love to celebrate themselves.
You know, the first thing when I knew I was going to speak with you is you've got this astonishing resume, Emmys, Golden Globes, SAG Award, yet your willingness to just dive into a different aspect of the entertainment business. Would it be fair to say that the concept of stand-up kind of tapped into the artist in you and kind of offered a unique challenge?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why people fear stand-up. And, you know, I'm a baby. I just started yesterday because I've only been touring for 10 years. So for a lot of people, 10 years is nothing. And I've been on stage since I was 8 years old and grew up doing sketch comedy. And, you know, I'm a stand-up comic. And it's funny because I literally, I'm driving and I pulled over, ironically, right in front of the Laugh Factory here in L.A., which is the first place that I got up to do stand-up. It was a charity event because I have the biggest heart in Hollywood, said no one ever. And I got up there, and I told some jokes, and I got hooked.
Wow. You know, I'm happy you mentioned time because I'm into my 60s now, and I often think of a line you delivered in Gross Point Blank to John Cusack in the car, 10 years. I'm kind of curious, as time marches on and you think about certain roles or performances, do you have that, wow, that's been 15, that's been 20 years moment?
You know, I don't, and I'll tell you why, because, you know, I really believe that, you know, time is this man-made element, and, you know, we can be a slave to it, and there are people that do that, and I get it, we're human, you know. Hey, man, I saw you 17 years ago at the Cubs game. Do you remember? It was October 4th. You were 32 years old. Hey, it was 11-4. No, brother, I don't remember, you know. So, and you mentioned 10 years, like, that what that does is it immediately puts me back into that car with Cusack. He and I met each other when we were 8 years old performing at the Piven Theater in Chicago. And we started a theater company together, and we went to NYU together, and we did 9 movies and blah, blah, blah. And I remember being in that car, and he's a movie star, and I'm a journeyman actor, and I have no lines. And Johnny and I just launch into an improv session, and it all makes it into the movie, and that's who I was. And, you know, here I am doing stand-up, and people are like, you can do stand-up? It's like, well, brother, I've been improvising and writing on my feet my whole life, so I have nothing to prove to anyone. I know that when people see my stand-up after 80 movies, they come up to me afterwards, and they say, we didn't know you were this funny. So, listen, all I know is I love to perform. It's an honor. The theater that I'm going to be at with you guys is one of the most beautiful theaters in the country. It's beautiful, and we're going to get in there and laugh our asses off.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned. First, you mentioned October 4th. That happens to be my birthday. I know you didn't research that, but in prepping for our talk and poring over your bio, you mentioned, for folks not aware, you grew up in Evanston, a Chicago suburb, and your parents founded the Piven Theater Workshop. I had never known that, and I know you just lost your mom recently, so condolences there. But if you would kind of tell that story, because, first of all, the alumni list, including you and Cusack, is kind of remarkable.
Yeah, and Joan Cusack and Lily Taylor and Aidan Quinn, it goes on and on and on. And, you know, many people who you know from film and TV have studied with with my parents, and they did it with an open hand. They're real artists, and they did it at a time when people weren't doing it as a performative gesture. Do you know what I mean? I mean, they weren't doing it so they could be seen in a certain light. They could be seen as empathetic. They could, you know, it wasn't, there was no DEI back then.
Right.
My parents did it because it was the right thing to do, and it's my honor to speak that truth. And, you know, I think that if, you know, this is going to be very harsh, but I, you know, my mom told me to stop speaking the truth, and I can't. So, and she knows me, and I'm very close to my father, who's passed away now, and now I don't have parents, and the gloves are off. But I will say that, you know, we need to honor people that have transformed our life in this lifetime. So if, you know, at my mom's funeral, people were getting up and they were sobbing, as I was, and talking about how much my mom meant to us and how she changed our lives because she put us up on stage and empowered us with the belief that we're enough. And she would always say that, you are enough. And we got up on stage and we had confidence. And these people, some of them became actors. Some of them became politicians or lawyers or just, you know, just good, decent civilians. And it helped to empower us in this life. And you know, there were people that called my mom on her deathbed and told her that. And what I would say to anyone is, pick up that phone and call your mentor today and don't wait till they're dying. And I don't mean to be so morbid. I guarantee you my show will be funnier than this.
Well, that's a beautiful legacy either way. Talking with Jeremy Piven, bringing his national stand-up tour to the McDonald in Eugene, Saturday, April 26th. You know, Jeremy, I've talked with comedians over the years, stand-up, and I do this 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and I'm never without a device or a pad or a pen in case something strikes me that I want to use. I'm curious as to your process. Do you put time aside to write? Are you just constantly observing and seeking new material?
Well, I mean, that's one of the brilliant things about stand-up. It just trains your mind to just kind of make sure that you document, because we all think of these funny things. I truly believe stand-up is blowing up now more than ever because we're all so frustrated with life. And stand-ups, one of the things we do is make sense of all this. What in God's name is going on? How and also it's escapism. Come hang out with me at the McDonald's Theater and just, you know, forget about everything while I make you laugh for an hour. But also let me make sense of this, and it's going to be divided. It's going to be polarizing because if I give you my take on it, it's going to offend some people. You know what I mean, man?
Yeah.
But these are jokes. I'm not running for office, you know, and I'm getting older. You know, sometimes I used to look at a woman in a short skirt and I'd be like, wow, she's hot. And now I'm like, I wonder if she's cold. You know what I mean? You know, and we just got to keep laughing and laughing at ourselves and everything else. Because as I get older, look, man, I'm destroyed. My mom was my best friend in the world. And, you know, we've all been through this. And so let me unpack all of this. I played Ari Gold, and everything I said is Ari Gold. I said to my mom's face, because she tested me on all my lines. She was my acting teacher, and I get to unpack all of this on stage. The highest paid actor in the world is The Rock. He's never taken an acting class. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense. You know what I mean? So let me unpack that, and we can just laugh our asses off. And, you know, people say to me, look, man, I had no idea you were this funny, which is the biggest backhanded compliment ever. That's like saying, hey, man, you're a short king, or you look great for your age. You know what I mean? Like, these are backhanded compliments.
Which, by the way, considering the comedies you've done, it's like, well, have you paid attention to my career at all? But
brother, that's what, to be honest with you, that makes me feel the best. It's like, yes, I won 3 straight Emmys. Who's counting me? So, you know, I've been in over 80 movies, and I've been doing my thing for a while. And for them to watch my stand-up and say, now this is funnier, to me, to be honest with you, that's a shot in the arm. Because this is all coming from me. This is my take on the world, what I think is funny. When I slip into, you know, when I do my impressions, you know, of Owen Wilson or Mike Tyson or Stallone or any of these people, it either hits or it doesn't. And I know it does because they're going to give me about 30 seconds. Well, they'll just laugh because it's me. And then if it ain't funny, it's going to be silent. And it's up to me to lift this thing up. And I love the pressure. I love all of it. And like my mom said, the readiness is all. She was quoting Shakespeare, but I'll give her credit.
You know, I've got to get to the new movie, The Performance, and almost an eerie timelessness to it as it's set in Germany in the late 30s. Your character, Harold May, a Jewish-American tap dancer who's touring Europe, learning he's going to perform in front of Adolf Hitler. So tell us about this, from you learning tap to your sister directing. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of unique aspects to this latest film.
You know, it's interesting because whenever I would pitch the film that you just basically laid out, it's an indie film that's a period piece, people would laugh in my face. Because, you know, you're a Jewish tap dancer that danced for Hitler, they would just burst out laughing. And we just didn't get the money. And every year that I didn't get the money, I just got better at tap. And it took me over 10 years to find the money, and it's the best work of my life. And I hired my sister, and she adapted it from a short story my mom handed me out of the New Yorker. And, you know, who knew that it would be this timely? You know, there are things going on beyond our control, man. There's this universal timeline. I wanted this to come out 5 years ago. I wanted to make it 10 years ago, you know, but it's supposed to happen right now. Because, I think there are a lot of people. It's the best work of my life.
Wow.
And it illustrates better than any tweet or TED Talk or documentary or anything the absurdity of hatred, the absurdity of anti-Semitism or racism. But it does it in such a beautiful way. I get to play opposite the brilliant Robert Carlyle, who plays the German gentleman that comes backstage and we become friends, and then one thing leads to another, and I can't unravel everything. But, you know, this is a perfect example of the power of storytelling. And people, listen, the reviews, look them up. I've never gotten reviews like this in my life, and that's including Ari Gold.
Wow, that says a lot. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It just
They're saying that I disappeared in this role, and the reality is I reappeared because this character is me. You know, people are like, well, how much do you like Ari Gold? Because it's an authentic character. Harold May is me. I'm a performer. I'm looking for an audience. This movie is about how much of yourself will you compromise to become successful in this life. And we've all compromised ourselves. And my character thinks that art can override hate. And man, is he mistaken. And he pays the price. And, you know, when I do these screenings, and they all say, listen, they're all going to leave when you do your Q&A. No one's ever left. I just can't wait for this film to come out. You know, this is, you know, you mentioned your age. You know, none of us are getting younger. But and if we were pro athletes, we'd be retired. But the good news about being an artist, we just continue, if we want to work hard, we continue to get better. And so I've never been better than I am right now. And I know that sounds very self-congratulatory, but I don't care.
Talking with Jeremy Piven, the stand-up tour comes to Eugene's McDonald Theater April 26th. And
if they meant, by the way, if they mention your show, let's give them some free meet and greets so they can save money.
Okay, that would be awesome.
Because look, I'm Jewish and I like to save money.
Hey, I was bar mitzvahed September 27th of 1973, so I'm right there with you.
Holy shit, man. You excuse my language, but you've got so many dates in your head. It's crazy.
Well, being in sports, it's a very good way to kind of document. And, you know, I was thinking, knowing you were actually born in New York City, but you were raised in Chicago, you've been living in L.A. forever, Bulls, Bears, Lakers. Then, Jeremy, I came across an interview you did 2 months ago. You were talking about Baker Mayfield, who got traded to the Rams late in the 2022 season. So if you could kind of share that. Apparently he came to one of your shows, you struck up a relationship, and somehow you got involved. He has a photographic memory. I thought that was a great story, and this is a sports show.
Well, look, I mean, Baker, you know, has come along at a time in the past 4 or 5 years where, you know, being, it's never been a worse time to be a cocky white boy, let's be honest. And, you know, that's exactly what he is. He's confident. And they, you know, he won a playoff game for Cleveland. And what do? They ship him out of town, you know? And that's interesting. They hadn't won a game in, I mean, I don't think they ever won a playoff game, you know? So what do they do with him? They throw him over to the Rams. They give him 3 days to learn the playbook. He's got a photographic memory. He wins the game. He crushes it. He blows everyone away. He's thriving right now, currently, and he's only getting better. And yeah, we met, and you know, he just needed a good laugh, and he came out in Cleveland, and he laughed his ass off, and Stipe Miocic, who was the, you know, heavyweight UFC champ, came out as well. And, you know, these guys are heroes of mine, and it was my honor to make them laugh. Stipe came out to Cleveland recently when I was there. We've remained friends. Yeah, Baker's a stud. You know, he's over in Tampa Bay. He's proven himself, and he's only going to get better. And, you know, I love these stories.
No, it was terrific. And you mentioned Cleveland taking a playoff win for granted. I told you how old I am. The last time they won the championship, I hadn't even started kindergarten. So the last thing I want to get to is, it's a full confession, I'm a Seinfeld geek. My wife thinks I need to seek help. I saw another interview with you where the casting director contacted you about the part of playing George in the kind of the show within the show. And at the time, season 5, you had never even seen a Seinfeld episode.
Look, this is horrible. And I know Jerry, and he's my spirit animal. And I said it to his face, you know, he's out there crushing the road, still hungry, still just beautifully doing his thing and evolving, and handles hecklers better than anyone in the game. And I had never seen the show when I did the show. And Hirschfeld, John Hirschfeld, the casting director, I ran into him in the parking lot because I was shooting Larry Sanders. But I was such a dummy, I didn't have a TV. And I'm a stage actor from Chicago. I'm on my first TV show out of college, the Larry Sanders Show. I'm living in a pool house. I have no TV. He offers me an audition. I still think I'm a scrappy, broke actor. I immediately take the audition to play George. I'd never seen the show. I get the role. And I went and did the show. I didn't know who they were. I just thought they were a bunch of insanely funny, really cool guys. I didn't know they were the Beatles.
No, that I heard that, and I was like, that is just masterpiece theater. Didn't even have a TV. Thought he was still a struggling actor, and lands a role on Seinfeld. Hey, no biggie.
Yeah, but I'm here to tell you, that's the best way to meet people. You know, because I wasn't intimidated. I was just like, wow, these guys are really cool and really funny. Larry David's a genius. Larry David's directing me how to play him, and Jason Alexander is giving me directions, and he's playing Larry, and there were three kind of like incarnations of George.
That is fantastic, and like I said, I'm a huge fan. Folks, he's Jeremy Piven again. The stand-up tour arrives in Eugene for a show Saturday, April 26th, the McDonald Theater. Visit jeremy-piven.com on the X platform. Use at Jeremy Piven. Jeremy, it has been awesome having you. Congrats on the tour, the new flick, all the terrific work you've done. Wishing you well, and I greatly appreciate you coming on our show.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate all the good words, young man. And I will say, if you're free, come to the show. And then next time you and I talk, we can chop it up about stand-up, because you're going to see what I've been after without stopping for 10 years.
10 years!
10 years!
I'm looking forward to it. You be well, my friend. And
thank you, brother.
Again, thank you
see
so
you
much.
Soon.
Take care.
Okay.
All right, there you go.